Blog Talk Radio.
You good, T-Money? Niggas can count me up, I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it, you all on my dick.
You're now tuning in to the hottest sports talk podcast on the East Coast, The Right Way Network, with hosts Austin Mio and Malik Wright. Be sure to follow the team on social media at The Right Way Network on Facebook, at The Right Way Network on Instagram, and at The Right Way Net on Twitter. And remember, there's only one way to get all your sports updates, and that is The Right Way.
Thank you guys for joining me for another episode of The Right Report live on Blog Talk Radio, produced by The Right Way Sports Network. I'm extremely excited for today's podcast. We've got Cincinnati Bengals safety Clayton Fegelum here on the air with us, and we're going to talk a lot of Bengals stuff as well. Get to know Clayton. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram at The Right Way Sports Network, on Facebook at The Right Way Sports Network, and on Twitter at The Right Way Sports Network. As we continually push this content out for you guys, we've got a big, big summer planned. But without further ado, Clayton Fegelum. Clayton, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me out here today.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to come and speak with our listeners. Let's jump right into it. But before I do, I want to ask you, how do they properly pronounce your last name?
Yeah, we get this one a lot. It's Fegelum. So it's Feg and then just kind of like the alumni or whatever. So Fegelum.
Okay. So we did have it right. All right. So let's start off with your college career. You started off in high school. You start in three different sports, which was wrestling, lacrosse, and football. Let me ask you, was it hard for you to choose between the three?
No, that's actually a no-brainer for me. I grew up in a football household. Football mm-hmm. is, the passion of my family. That's where all my love was growing up. And then wrestling and lacrosse, I mean, they hold a certain spot in my heart, but I never had that passion for them where I went mm-hmm. out there and I competed. They all had their, different things. Like wrestling I got into so I could do something in, the winter sport. Just staying in shape and then, just kind of keep myself active. I can look back and, I give wrestling a lot of credit for, who I am. It's a great sport. It teaches you a lot about yourself. You can't go out there and point any fingers. It's just you versus the other man. And then lacrosse was great. One of my good buddies back home got me into it just kind of to do something in the spring. When you're younger, football is not that long. It's not a full calendar year sport like it is now when you're, at a higher elite level. So we had to stay busy in, our different seasons. So that was a great way to, run around, stay in shape in spring. So, I mean, they all hold a certain spot. I never had that passion for wrestling and lacrosse I did for football.
For sure, and it seems like all three different sports taught you something different. Let me ask you this. What did you love most about playing football?
When I was young, I started in a little Pop Warner program, and there was just so much, not even just team, just the team aspect of it, but the whole town was involved in this little Pop Warner program, and I played with the same guys from, when I was 6 years old through high school. It was the same team I started with in that Pop Warner. So it was just the relationships that grew together playing football. And that's probably why, I love it so much, is just because of the relationships that I've had, in my career just growing. So, it's been a huge, huge part of my life.
For sure. And me personally, I'm a defensive guy myself. And if you didn't know, Clayton, I'm a huge Bengals fan. You play with the tenacity, that I personally love. I'm a physical player. I'm into physical football, and I think it's awesome. Now, you were a walk-on at Illinois after playing two seasons at Xavier. How does your time at Xavier prepare you mentally for the challenges of walking on to a big program like Illinois?
Yeah, St. Xavier there in Chicago, it was, you know, it was a premier NAIA school, but at the same time, you know, it's still small college ball. But mm-hmm. the first few years before I got there, my older brother played there as well. And his first 2 years, they have a playoff system before the NCAA had the playoff system. And, you know, they were there in the semifinalists or, you know, close up there to being the runner-up for the national championship to that level. So when I got there my freshman year and we won the national championship, we were playing at a high caliber and we held each other to a high standard. I mean, it just came down to the fact that I knew that if I wanted to play on Sundays, I'd have to get myself on a bigger stage. So, I mean, we were an elite caliber team at the time, and walking on at Illinois, you know, I knew that I had to bring my A game. I held myself to a high standard. I always held myself to the highest standard I could. So it wasn't as drastic as you think it was. I mean, because it's quite a few level jumps there. I mean, NAIA is comparable to, you know, D3 or smaller D2 schools. So you're going from, you know, D1, 1A ball to NAIA. It's quite the leap.
For sure. Now, that actually brings me to my next question, which is semi-answered. Did you always want to play in the league, or did that become a goal of yours as time went on?
I mean, playing football, you know, starting when I was six or seven back then, was Pop Warner things, and that's always a little kid's dream. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the sport. You know, you went back to wrestling and lacrosse. Well, I didn't watch those on TV. You know, those aren't, you know, they had maybe WWE or WWF at the time, whatever it was. But, I mean, that's not real wrestling. And lacrosse has been growing a lot, but lacrosse mm-hmm. wasn't televised like that. So, I mean, football was that premier primetime sport. And I think that it was everyone's, you know, every little kid's dream. And I think that kind of got diminished a little bit, you know, not being a high recruit out of high school, going NAIA and then walking on. But it was always there in the back of my mind. It was something I always, you know, I guess you could say dreamed about. And then, you know, when I got older and I had success at a higher level, it just kind of became a reality.
Absolutely. Now, that actually brings me to my next question, right? Were you a WWE fan?
Not really. No. I can't say.
You mean you tell me you didn't like The Rock, Stone Cold, none of that?
You know, I like some of the clips and the highlights, but it's kind of just like a big, what is that, a soap opera? Or
yeah.
What do they even call them? I don't know. It's too much for me.
Well, what was your draft process like?
What do you mean with the whole drive process? Like, what keeps me going?
Yeah, no, I mean, what was your draft process?
Oh, I'm sorry. Draft was a little crazy. Just because there was such a question on me. I played a lot in my junior year, you know, having that walk-on mm-hmm. where I kind of had to, you know, build myself and prove that, you know, I was, you know, better than their recruits, which is a hard thing to do. So I didn't get as much playing time as I probably wanted to my junior year, and then having a great senior year at the University of Illinois, but it wasn't that much tape. So there's a lot of, you know, questions probably out there for scouts, and it was a weird thing. I was going back and forth with my agent, and he's like, "Yeah, this is you can kind of go anywhere from, you know, late third round to free agency. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. There's just so much gray." And so I was down there. With my family, a few close friends at my house, kind of watching the draft, waiting for the call, and it finally came in the seventh round. It was stressful. It was a stressful little process.
You know, we had Brandon Copeland, who's the Jets linebacker, on the podcast, and he talked to us about his draft process, you know, going undrafted, and he shared similar thoughts as you. But I think the one thing about Brandon Copeland, as well as yourself, you guys took full advantage of the opportunity of playing in the league. And I think that's not preached enough. You know, take advantage of the opportunities when they're presented to you, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. And, I mean, you can look back to, you know, the story that I had. It was kind of my process. I mean, I've done it the hard way a couple times. You know, I didn't come in a first, second, third round draft pick. I came in a seventh rounder, a late seventh rounder. And being that walk-on at Illinois, I had to fight a lot of adversity. You know, you can't be the same level as the guy next to you. You have to be miles ahead, or it's just, you know, the next guy up. You know, they're going to their guys. So bringing that, transitioning that mentality to the NFL, it's something I already went through in college, and it might have gave me the edge, but it was just something I was used to.
Yeah, you certainly do play with an edge. Do you have any words for any incoming rookies, whether they were the first-round pick, seventh-round pick, undrafted?
Yeah, I was just talking to a family member that I grew up with that just came out of his senior year, and, you know, he had high hopes for the draft. He had a couple workouts with other teams, and he just didn't get the call that he was expecting. And I just told him, you know, keep your head up, stay in shape, because the NFL is just a revolving door. It's going to keep moving. As soon as you're in the building, it doesn't matter if you're a first-round pick or a free agent. I mean, they're looking to replace you, because all they're trying to do is better their roster. So, you know, that call can come. It's a long season. It's a violent sport. So it doesn't matter how you make the team, if you're on there, if you're a practice squad guy and you work your way onto the active roster, or, you know, you get the call mid-season just because someone went down and they need the numbers. You know, that's whenever you get that opportunity, that's your time to shine. So, you know, just because you weren't in the draft, you missed the OTAs, there's still plenty of opportunities. So stay with it, stay in shape, and, you know, just hope for the best.
I think that's great advice. Brings me to my next question. We're shifting over to the Cincinnati Bengals, who did draft you. What has it been like playing in the Queen City?
Playing in what?
Playing in Cincinnati.
Oh, it's been, I mean, we definitely want to hit the postseason here. That's our goal, you know, first and foremost. But it's been great. I mean, you're playing at the highest caliber you can. We're in the NFL. We're at there's nowhere but, you know, there's nowhere higher to go. You're not going from, you know, college. You're not a baseball team that has all their farm teams. You work your way up to get to the majors. It's, you know, you're at the highest level, and it's been awesome, you know, going against elite caliber players that I, you know, grew up watching with, you know, the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees, the, you know, the Aaron Rodgers. It's been pretty sweet.
Absolutely. I remember a huge play you made last year against Indianapolis, recovering the fumble. I was like, let's go, let's go. we were definitely rooting for you over here.
I appreciate that. That was a great atmosphere game from Chicago, or south suburbs of Chicago, and Indy's closer than Cincinnati for my family, so it was awesome to have a lot of family members there for that one.
That's awesome. One thing I would use to describe you, it seems like you're very aware. You're very aware. You're always around the football, and I think that's an underrated quality in the league nowadays. But you're always around the ball, and I don't think you can teach that. Now, for the first time in 16 seasons, the Bengals have undergone a coaching change. What would you say is the biggest difference around the team in the city?
Biggest difference? There's been a lot. We just finished our off-season program, and it's been night and day. I mean, I'm going into year four here, but it's nothing like the first 3 years were. Just first off, the energy. That the new energy that we have, you know, change isn't always a bad thing. You know, we got a young staff, so it's easier to relate to your coaches. It's hard to put a finger on it because, you know, the real bullets aren't flying yet. We're not in, you know, the heat
for
of
sure.
the season, but I have the majority of my teammates have very, very high hopes, and, you know, we love the new staff, what we're doing on offense, defense. Collectively, it's been really good.
I mean, you could just sense the energy around the football team. You know, Coach Lewis was there for quite some time. But, you know, like you said, change isn't always a bad thing. I mean, just being in the city myself this past week, and I saw the energy talking to various fans and, you know, being able to experience that, you really do sense the excitement around the city. And I can only imagine how the players feel. You know, which brings me to my next question. You know, they bring Coach Taylor in, and he has a message for the team, and it's about us. So it brings me, does the outside noise ever get to you guys in the locker room, or does the Coach Taylor slogan, "It's about us," really sum it up?
Yeah, that's it. We don't have many rules on our team. We have two rules, and they're be on time and protect the team. And that mm-hmm. going, "It's about us," is, you know, don't go out there and do anything that's going to hurt our success, because we have high hopes. Our goal is to win a lot of games, play in the postseason, and, you know, bring Cincinnati a Super Bowl. And to do that, we're going to need to be firing on all cylinders. So it's about us, you know, protect the team, all that. You know, that's really what he stands for.
For sure, for sure. I know I touched on Coach Taylor, but what are your thoughts thus far on defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo?
We love it. I love it. I'm a big fan of having a second a D coordinator who has that secondary mindset.
Seeing
the big picture. Nothing against other D coordinators that, you know, start from different position groups or wherever they came from, but, you know, being a safety and having that, you know, everything is from the back end up, where, you know, we're relaying, we're seeing the big picture, we're all communicating on that level. It's nice having a D coordinator that way. That's how I played in college, and I've had a lot of success, and I feel like the teams and defenses that went that route had a lot of success.
For sure, for sure. Well, we have a fan-submitted question, and it goes like this. Clayton, what was your favorite moment since playing in the league? What has been your favorite moment?
Ooh, that's tough. there's a lot of, you know, you make plays, you know, after a big win, when you're just in the locker room with your teams, and, you know, knowing how much, you know, how much hard work and sweat went into that win. But I would say my first game, I mean, it's hard to narrow it down, so I might have a different answer if you ask me next week or a year later. It's tough to put a finger on it, but
for sure,
my first NFL game, not preseason, but real season opener, was at MetLife. And it was on 9/11, and they did a big 9/11 ceremony out there. So that was that was pretty amazing. It was kind of took you back. You know, their stadium was screaming, and, you know, the flyover, you know, the emotions there to honor, you know, the tragedy that happened, and then, you know,
absolutely
out there for the opener. That was unbelievable.
Clayton, I'm no, you know, person that likes to go back in time too much, but well, that might have been two seasons ago. That might have been 2 seasons ago, 2017.
16. That was my first. That was my rookie year.
It was your rookie year against the Jets, correct?
Yes.
I was at that game. I was covering that game.
Awesome.
And
that's awesome.
I remember that moment. I remember that moment. I shared a bunch of it on social media. It was really an awesome experience, breathtaking experience. You guys actually played in MetLife Stadium twice that year, I believe. It was once against the Jets, the home opener, and then it was Monday Night Football later on against the Giants.
Right.
I definitely remember that.
Absolutely. That was quite the experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, this brings us to the end, but I have one last question for you, Clay. What is your message to the fans who are, let's say, excited about the season, not that excited about the season? What would you say is your message to them, if you have one last thing to tell them?
I would say just the Bengals slogan that we got going right now. It's really a new era. So it's a clean slate. It's a fresh start. You know, if you're not too tied into it, and you're always the same Bengals, it's not. We're a new team. That should get you excited. And, you know, we're working right now to shock the world. So, you know, I hope that, you know, you guys come out and support us, because we're going to do everything we can. We're going to grind so we can get some wins out there on Sundays.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you personally for taking the time coming on the Right Before podcast, talking with me myself. I'm certainly, I know a lot of the fans will be excited to hear this podcast and hearing from you and, you know, your genuine feelings about this upcoming season and that the reasons why they should be excited. Also, Clayton, when I'm in Cincinnati next time, we're going to have to get lunch or something, man. You're a cool dude.
Absolutely. Just let me know and we'll go out, get some grub.
Absolutely, man. I recently stopped by a place in Cincinnati, Eli's Barbecue. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. I was like, this is the best barbecue I've ever had. but certainly grateful for you coming on the podcast, and thank you for your support of the Right Way Network. And we wish you nothing but the best this upcoming season. We'll see you back in Paul Brown, Dayton, Ohio this year for training camp coming up. And we wish you a happy and healthy season, Clayton. Good luck to the Cincinnati Bengals and Hoo Day, man.
Thank you. Hoo Day.
Absolutely. Thanks, Clayton.
I appreciate you guys having me.
You're now tuning in to the hottest sports talk podcast on the East Coast, The Right Way Network, with hosts Austin Mio and Malik Wright. Be sure to follow the team on social media at The Right Way Network on Facebook, at The Right Way Network on Instagram, and at The Right Way Net on Twitter. And remember, there's only one way to get all your sports updates, and that is The Right Way.
Very appreciative that had Cincinnati Bengals safety Clayton Fedulum come on tonight's podcast, talking all things Cincinnati Bengals, as well a little bit of his background and his journey to the NFL. Guys, we've got a lot planned for this upcoming off-season, summer, as well as the football season. Thank you for your continued support, following us on social media on all of our platforms. We will be out at Brandon Copeland's football camp in 2 weeks, as he has a great thing going on down there. We'll also be covering the Cincinnati Bengals training camp coming up, as well as some other things. But thank you guys for your continued support. Appreciate it. And as always, guys, the show will forever go on. Thank you. Good night, guys.
Play. Yeah.
Kayla's in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Every morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
Up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they ass. See, that's how that shutdown made me, that's how my daddy raised me. That glycerin may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Go on and put your hands up, when times is hard, you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause the brand that the fans trust, so even if they ban us, they'll never slow my plans up.